It's my hope that in some ways you have been keeping abreast of the devastation that was caused by what we now know as the Superstorm Haiyan. I've heard over the media heartbreaking conversations about the devastation. And if you've seen images, it's just so hard to imagine that such devastation can be caused. In many ways, we have experienced it ourselves in this nation, but this was just the mother of all devastations. I heard yesterday that 1.9 million people are homeless. This morning I read that the storm that went on to Vietnam, that there were 80,000 people that are homeless. You see misery on one side, and then you think about where you are yourself, and I see that the holidays are coming, and there is this commercial buzz now on television. If you're not ready for the holidays, if nothing else, these high-pitched commercials will get you there. And in my mind, the images of the misery and then the images of what I'm calling superficial, profit-obsessed commercial glitter, these two images just don't add up in my mind. The misery and the fake glitter side by side. I do believe in hope. It's wonderful to see hopeful images coming out of the Philippines. On the day that the storm hit, there was a baby that was born. I read this morning that masses were celebrated in those affected areas, in flooded churches and half-covered churches, and people were thanking God because they survived the storm. There were others who were praying for those that have died, and the others that said that the storm has only made them stronger. Yes, I do believe in hope, but I think sometimes, just sometimes, it's good for humanity not to go on with business as usual until the rest of humanity catches up with us. Just sometimes, it's good to pause. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I've chosen to begin my homily this way for two reasons. First of all, that today's gospel reading tells us that one day, there will be a day when it will not be business as usual for all of us put together, not just one part of humanity, but for all of us put together, it will not be business as usual. Someday, superficial glitter won't do. All that you see here, Jesus says, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down. For the people of the Philippines, especially in Tacloban and the neighboring islands and villages, that was so true. Not one stone left upon another. And the second reason I begin my homily this way is simply because we're reaching both the end of the liturgical year and the end of the calendar year. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King, and then we're into a new liturgical year. And very soon, of course, Thanksgiving and Christmas and the end of the year, and there'll be a new year with us. And as we come to the end of one season and a year and move to another, the scriptures are trying to help us to continue to live meaningful, purposeful, and faithful lives. And this morning, in my three practical implications, I want to suggest ways in which, amidst the uncertainty of life and of this world, that we can still be a people who will secure our lives, as Jesus says. So here's my first practical implication. I'm wondering, how is it that we can be a more reflective and visionary people? First of all, let's hear what Jesus says. He says, nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. What are the meaning of these words? Are these words meant to frighten us into submission? I think not. I think, on the other hand, Jesus is asking us to become a certain kind of people when these things happen. Jesus is asking us to become a more reflective and a visionary people, by which I mean a people that lives their life according to a certain vision. Just this last week, I was meeting with the parents who are making their confirmation. Parents of the kids who are making their confirmation. And I was trying to figure out, how do parents understand what's happening to their child? In the course of the conversation, one of the things that emerged was how impossible almost it is to live unreflective lives, reflective lives. So from between national and college and school sports, from baseball season to football season to basketball season, from summer to fall to winter holidays, work and school and the daily drudgery of life, it seems like we barely make it from one day to the other. When I talk about people trying to live reflective lives, parents are just at sea. How is it even possible for us to come together as a family and ask the question, what direction are we heading? Where are we going as a family? What is it that drives us together? Is there a common single vision we have, and not only as a family, but even as individuals? So here's my first practical implication. It seems that the superstorm in the Philippines, Superstorm Haiyan, is reminding us that we simply just need to slow down. We cannot take anything for granted, because what we have today can be gone tomorrow. And instead of unreflectingly getting caught up in the holiday frenzy and commercial glitter, just take this week, because I think this week is all we have, to just slow down and ask the question, where am I heading personally? What is guiding my life? See, next week is you preparing for Thanksgiving. And then once Thanksgiving is over, we get caught up in the whole hoopla around Christmas. And Christmas comes and goes, and we don't even realize it's come and gone. This week is the week that you have to slow down if you want to. And please, either as a family or as individuals, please stand before God and ask the question, where am I going? Where are we going as a family? Please do so. Secondly, when you hear readings like the ones that we've had today, there's a lot of drama around it. It's very dramatic. Jesus speaks about all these fabulous signs that would happen. And it is very easy to focus on the dramatic. Remember last year, around this time, everybody was waiting for the world to end on December 12th? according to the Mayan calendar. Do you remember that? And here we are, right, a year later. What's changed? Not much. Some churches cashed big time, cashed in big time on the predictions of the end of the world. And even in today's gospel, the temptation is to focus on the powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place. And seeing what happened in the Philippines, we might as well say, well, that's the right thing to do, because our focus is on the storm, isn't it? But I think that is exactly where the focus is not. That is exactly what Jesus is saying, that we should be a people that don't have to be afraid of. When these things happen, Jesus says, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. In other words, our focus should be on what shall we do so that when stuff like this happens, we don't find ourselves caught off guard. So the gospel ends with the words, by your perseverance you will secure your lives. Malachi says in today's first reading, but for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with healing rays. So, perseverance, that's the key. Folks, one day, whether we like it or not, our world will be rocked, whether that's the end of the world or our personal lives. Illness, professional setback, broken relationships, betrayals, hardships, difficult children, uncommitted parents, sometimes hateful relationships. Tell me one person here who has not been affected by at least one of these things. Our world does get rocked. But the key is that constantly and unceasingly persevering to keep our eyes focused on Christ. That is the key to meaningful and purposeful dealing of a personal or a community loss. So just for a moment, I'm suggesting, even as both in misery and glitter are claiming our attention, let us work on our own perseverance. Perseverance in faith, in love, in reconciliation, in healing, in goodness, in holiness. And finally, here's my third point, and I'm sorry to say, but my third practical implication itself has three practical implications. So. It's not long, though. So I was reading today about masses being held in the storm-hit places in the Philippines. And this week, just the last week, I've been thinking, what will it mean in the Philippines for this gospel to be read? They're living it right now. How will they hear these gospels about destruction? What does it mean when the gospel says, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives? How will those people take it? I think it would be preposterous for me to even suggest that I know the answer. The people there, they're taking it well, but to even hear this gospel knowing that they've lost 11 family members, what does that mean? So as I said, we cannot answer the question because we are so far removed from the experience, but there are things that we can do. And here are the three things that I'm going to do. And that's why I said I have three practical implications. From my own personal side, around Christmas time, both from here at St. Helen and at Immaculate, I get numerous gifts from people. People send me checks, they send me cash, they send me gifts. Here is what I'm requesting. Those of you who have taken over the years and made the effort to make me feel good at Christmas, I'm asking you, don't do anything for me this year. I would like you to send that money to the Philippines. Whatever you are hoping to do for me, from my side, please send it to the Philippines. I don't need anything, and what I don't have, I can live without. But there are so many people in heartbreaking need. please send resources to them. Secondly, today there will be a second collection here after Mass. The first basket that comes will be the Thai, the second basket will be for the Philippines. Please, put your heart out there. And if you did not come prepared for that, there'll be other opportunities. But may I please ask you not to hold back. Let's just pause so that some people who cannot can catch up with us. Would you please do that? And thirdly, as you prepare for the holidays and as you go around Christmas shopping, please don't forget the Philippines. I'm saying even if you're going to spend $1 this year on Christmas stuff, do not do that without taking care of those that need our help. You can use your Christmas as a way of being born in this place where there needs to be hope. There needs to be the help of and the face of God that comes through there. And may we as a community, come together so that the people in the Philippines truly continue to find God's presence. So three things in which we can help. Three ways in which we can help. As the bread and wine is put on the altar, I think of Christ, who did not just give something that belongs to him to us, but Christ said, "This is my body." He gives himself so completely. And the Eucharist is what connects the whole world together. The Philippines and here in Dayton, this Eucharist connects us. As we celebrate the Eucharist, may we have the attitude of Christ. May we be a visionary people. May we be people who are going where God wants to take us, and may we be a people that break ourselves for those in need. Let's be like Christ. People of God said.